On this episode of the Fear Me Out podcast, Justine Hamilton and I discuss all the different aspects of narcissistic personality disorder and all the different manifestations that it takes in a person's life and how it affects relatives and friends and other people involved in the person's life. Hope you guys enjoy this episode. It's really an important topic for many different reasons, both in friendships, in parental relationships, in political situations, and all the different ways that narcissists affect our life. There are two basic motivating forces, fear and love. When we're afraid, we pull back from life. When we're in love, we open up to all that life has to offer with passion, excitement, and acceptance.
Coming to you from our studio in Santa Barbara, California, this is the Fear Me Out podcast. We're not your typical self-help program. Our show takes a deep dive into those psychological issues that affect us on a daily basis. We hope to shift your perspective and have you experiencing emotions differently. Now, Dr. Dana Saperstein.
Welcome to the Fear Me Out podcast. Today, I welcome Justine Hamilton back onto the show. Justine and I haven't done an interview in a long time. She was off having a great old summer traveling in Europe. So now I got her back again, and we're going to talk about narcissistic personality disorder, one of my favorite, least favorite mental illnesses that people have. I have done an episode about different personality disorders before, but I wanted to focus on narcissistic personality disorder, especially because we have an election coming up next year, and all the
political
narcissists come out with their peacock feathers showing. Welcome.
Thank
Justine.
You. I think I'm going to go back on vacation after all that.
Yeah,
that
there
makes
you
me
go.
Nervous.
Smart, good idea. I think the best way to start, if you don't mind, is for me to give you an idea of what it means to have a narcissistic personality disorder.
Great. Yeah. What is the
definition? Characteristics are that the person carries with them.
Yeah.
The first thing I think that's really important is that the person has a grandiose sense of self-importance. Usually the person overestimates their capabilities and holds themselves to an unreasonably high standard, but they don't really know that because of their grandiosity.
Mm-hmm.
The person usually is really good at bragging and exaggerating their achievements.
Mm. Why am I starting to think about some people in my head right now?
Yeah,
when
there
you're
you
going
go.
Through this.
Well, think about the fucking idiot from New York who he made a complete fake description of who he was to win the election to be a congressman from New York.
Uh-huh.
Made up everything.
Uh-huh.
Just to suit him and his grandiose ideas about himself.
Yeah.
And he got voted into office.
And he's still there.
And everybody figured out that everything he said was a complete fabrication.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the way it goes. Anyway, the second thing that's really important is that the person has frequent fantasies about having or deserving success, power, intelligence, beauty, love, and self-fulfillment.
What is that? What do you mean, fantasies about that?
Well, I think that the people that are narcissistic in a grandiose way, they fantasize. Well, I mean, let's talk about Trump for a brief moment. He would like to be the ruler of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And everything he does is designed to help him achieve that goal of being the most powerful person on the planet.
So they're going for the big time, big everything.
Yeah, there's nothing that's ever not achievable for someone who has a personality disorder.
Yeah.
The third thing that's really important is that the person has a really strong belief in their superiority. They think that they're very special and unique, and they believe that they should only associate with people that they see as being worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. You know, usually famous people hang out with other famous people.
Right, that are also narcissists.
All of that sort of thing. Number four is a really strong need for admiration, because the driving force of having a personality disorder is a need for admiration and power. Those are the only two things that matter. Usually underneath it, the person has a very fragile self-esteem and a lot of self-doubt and feelings of emptiness, but they're preoccupied with what other people think of them.
Are they even aware that underneath they have these feelings of self-doubt? They're not even aware.
No, there's the defenses against knowing that you have a personality disorder are so strong that, amazingly enough, it's humanly impossible to know that that's what's wrong with you mm-hmm. if that's what's wrong with you.
You really just think you're that great.
It's not just thinking. You believe it. And it really is humanly impossible to know that that's what's wrong with you. And that's the hardest thing for most people to believe, that you could be so blind to how crazy you are. Because mm-hmm. it really is a profound form of mental illness. The problem is it doesn't preclude enormous success and power and actually creativity and mm-hmm. All kinds of stuff that we admire.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Most of the famous people in the world have personality disorders. Otherwise, they wouldn't get there.
Right.
And that includes, musicians and artists and...
And then that just feeds that.
Athletes, politicians, CEOs, even, teachers and clergy, all mm-hmm. kinds of different people that... Psychologists.
Cops, firemen.
There's no shortage of narcissistic
podcast
psychologists.
Hosts.
As a podcast host who think that they're the shit. There's also a really strong sense of entitlement. Mm-hmm. It's sort of an inflated sense of self-worth. And that if you have a personality disorder, you do expect favorable treatment.
Okay.
And you get really angry with people who don't cater to you or appease you.
So is there something like I know this is a strange question, but like a narcissist light, where there are people that feel great or expect great or, live very grandiosely, but they're not really a narcissist?
Well, I think that there is a certain type of narcissistic needs that we all have.
Right.
Right. Don't you want to be thought well of?
Yeah.
I mean, does it matter to you that people like you and respect you? And
don't you want the best table?
Yeah. All of that stuff. That's not a sign of having a personality disorder, because you can actually admit that those things are important to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a personality disorder, you can't admit that those things are important to you, because they would sound like negative, and you cannot accept any responsibility for anything negative if you have a personality disorder.
Okay.
And mostly it's because you don't have a conscience.
Right, right.
So part of having a personality disorder is the absence of having a conscience, which means that you have no idea what guilt feels like.
And that's really the definitive line between having a real disorder and not.
Yeah, because if you can't feel guilty, what is there to prevent you from doing whatever you feel is necessary to achieve your goal? Because people can rationalize anything. They can rationalize murder. They can rationalize invading another country if they feel like it's their due, mm-hmm. which is happening in our world all the time.
Yeah.
And there's no conscience there. The person will absolutely tell you why it was necessary and why it's justified.
And they believe that.
And it's not like they're not lying from their perspective.
Right.
And that leads to the next issue, which is a strong willingness to exploit other people.
Oh, okay.
And that happens either consciously or unconsciously, but it's a really strong component of having a personality disorder, which means that you don't have anything to hold you back from exploitation and manipulation.
And the reason you're exploiting someone else is for your own good?
For your own need to be grandiose or powerful, because mm-hmm. That's what matters more than anything.
Right.
Usually the person forms friendships or relationships with people who boost their standing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not unusual if you believe that somebody can help you get more power and admiration that you'll join forces with that person and pretend like you're their friend.
Right. But at the same time, they're just taking advantage of you for their own good.
Yeah. I mean, it's deliberately taking advantage of other people for selfish reasons.
Yeah.
That's exactly very well put. The seventh part of it is the lack of empathy. It doesn't matter what you say to other people, and you hurt other people because they deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the feelings and needs are of other people, it's a sign of their weakness.
Yeah.
And it's very unusual for somebody who's narcissistic with a personality disorder to return any kind of kindness or show interest in another person.
So why are we so drawn to narcissists? Why are we electing them? Why are we listening to them? If they don't care about us, there's no back and forth to anything and no reciprocity. Why are we Why do we put them on such a pedestal?
Well, I will say that people that have been seduced in a romantic relationship by a narcissist describe the kind of seduction that is pretty hard to imagine is even real. Because if you have a personality disorder, your ability to read people and figure out exactly what they need is so acute, more acute than any other person in the world. So if I want to seduce you, I will use my narcissistic powers to be able to figure out exactly how to speak to you, how to behave with you, and how to trick you into falling in love with me so then I can use you and take advantage of you.
Okay, but that only lasts for a while.
Well, and again, that's why, you know, as it, for an example, entertainers get married and divorced every other year, mm-hmm. because after a certain period of time, the other person that's maybe doesn't have a personality disorder says, hey, what about me? And that's experienced by the narcissist as the ultimate in betrayal, because there is no you. Mm-hmm. And it's incredibly selfish and unreasonable for you to ask for your needs to be met when I'm the important person in the room.
Right. But we're still drawn to them. We're still electing them. We're still putting them on all these pedestals.
Well, I think of the contributions that certain incredibly creative, powerful people make. Like, let's talk about an actor or an actress who's super famous, wins Academy Awards. And when you watch their performance, you cannot tell the difference between them and the character that they're playing. Mm-hmm. And the reason that is so is because they, when you have a personality disorder, you don't have a sense of self.
Right.
So there is no you inside of you.
Right.
So if somebody hands you a paper with a script on it and you're a good mimic, mm-hmm. you actually become what's on the paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's nothing in you that interferes with you becoming that character.
Yeah.
Like if you and I decided to become, you know, actors or actresses, and our self would get in the way of us doing a command performance.
Yeah.
So we would never achieve that kind of stardom because we can't disconnect so much from who we are.
Yeah.
Because there is a who we are inside of us. If you have a personality disorder, there is no you inside of you.
Do you feel like taking, you know, high profile people out of it, to take just like, you know, the common relationship, do you feel like there are people that are more vulnerable or weaker are more drawn to narcissists? Like I'm thinking about, I have friends in my life that are married to or have been married to what they would say are narcissists.
Yes.
So is it someone who is a little bit more vulnerable that they sort of prey on, or?
Well, a lot of times it happens if you're brought up by somebody like that, mom or dad or both.
Right.
That's what love feels like. It's normal.
Right.
To be used and made to feel bad about yourself. And that just works in your definition of love.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then the pattern repeats itself.
Yes, because if the man is a narcissist and he marries a woman and then they have kids, the narcissist starts to feel incredibly betrayed because his wife is paying attention to their children. And that's intolerable because the person feels betrayed and abandoned by their partner, even though they decided to have kids.
Right.
Because they didn't really understand that the wife would actually devote herself to the kids. Mm-hmm. I've seen it happen that way. I've also seen the woman be the narcissist and the man, you know, wanting to take care of his kids and the woman feeling incredibly betrayed in a situation like that.
Mm-hmm. Is it more, do you think it's more a male or a female disorder?
I think that, men are more visible in some ways than women. But I don't really believe it's that much of an imbalance as we might think.
Okay.
It's just that in our world, men have a tendency to become the CEOs and the, you know, and the professors and the people like that. Not that women don't do that. But because the world is very male-dominated, the narcissists have a tendency to be men in that world. I mean, I finish this and say a few more things I think are important. Envy is a huge part of a person having a personality disorder, of the narcissistic variety. Feeling of being really envious of others, especially when the other people are successful. You can't be happy for them because you're threatened by their success. And you expect other people to envy you if you're successful.
Oh, interesting.
And belittling and diminishing the achievements of others is really common.
Mm-hmm. To make yourself feel better, right?
Yeah. And arrogance is a huge part of it. You know, a lot of times people that are narcissistic are very patronizing. Mm-hmm. And they really enjoy diminishing other people's value in front of them.
Yeah.
Part of how it affects you is that you can, if you have a personality disorder, you generally have a fear of avoiding vulnerability, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. Usually you're hypersensitive to criticism and rejection. It's almost impossible to accept it in any way. And the most common reaction is rage, narcissistic rage.
That's no fun.
In order to hurt the people that are threatening you. Mm-hmm. People that are narcissistic also fake humility. And pretend
humility.
Like they care.
Ah.
That's a huge thing that's important, I think, for all of us to understand that sometimes people that are have personality disorders can be incredibly generous.
Oh, what's that about? Staying up on top?
Well, there's a particular fellow who started a tech company. It became one of the most the biggest companies in the world. If you read about the way he treated his employees as the company was growing and his competitors, he didn't just want to win and be successful. He wanted to make sure he destroyed everybody that got in his way.
Okay.
This person ended up being worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And he has given probably, well, actually billions of dollars. He gave $25 billion to charity. How do you fault somebody for doing that?
Right.
I mean, that's like an incredible, who gives $25 billion to charity? Now, of course, that was not even close to his assets, but that's what he did. And so everybody looks at him like he's the greatest guy who ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
The sad part is that the whole time he was married to his wife, he was unfaithful to her. He went to Jeffrey Epstein's Perv Island to have sex with underage girls.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody really cares that much about that because he gave $25 billion to charity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. There's another fellow that invented a phone that most people use in the world. Mm-hmm. And his daughter did a biography on him after he died. And it was one series of abusive experiences after another.
Wow.
But the person that interviewed her when she wrote the book said, you know, you speak really highly of your dad during this interview, but I read the book and he abused you a multitude of times in some of the most horrific ways. And she said, yeah, but he didn't really mean it.
Oh, okay.
So that's the way she rationalized.
Yeah.
Because, her, you know, before he died, he was probably one of the most famous people in the world.
Right.
And he changed our culture in ways that will never be taken away.
And had a lot of accolades. And,
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I remember during certain periods of time, people would sleep overnight in order to get their phone before anybody else could get it.
No, it's still happening.
Oh, it's still, okay. You see, it so blew me away that somebody would go to the trouble of sleeping on the street overnight to get a phone that there was plenty enough for everybody.
Yeah.
But they created the illusion of a shortage. So if you didn't get yours, you would be left out. I mean, again, it's a mastermind that knows how to manipulate.
Yeah. And it just seems like, I don't know, the word and the phrase and the labeling is, I don't know, I feel like it's a lot more in our culture than it ever used to be. And I'm just wondering, what do you think? Do you think there is a lot of mislabeling happening? Or do you think there are maybe more narcissists?
Well, I think it's both, actually. There are actually three types of people or types of narcissistic personality disorder. There's the grandiose type, which is the one that we normally associate with that term.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all the things that I just described. The person is very grandiose. They have a way overinflated opinion of themselves.
Right.
A lot of times they actually avoid conflict because they think it would make them look bad to have conflict.
Mm-hmm.
People get really mad at me when I talk about the notion of Obama as being a narcissist because he was so charming and mm-hmm. everybody loved him and he was really smart. But if you look at the library he's building for himself, the presidential library, it is the most palatial library that's ever been built in the history of our universe.
Mm.
And I don't think that's by an accident.
Mm.
Because when he was going to run for president, his wife told him, under no circumstances are you allowed to do this. It will mess up our lives. It'll destroy our children. you can't do it. Mm-hmm. And he said, okay, I won't. And then he changed his mind when he figured out that they would actually have a chance of being elected. Mm-hmm. And his response to that was, oh, she'll get over it.
Wow.
Right? Not a big deal. So what if it hurts our kids and our... Now, he would never say that out loud because that would make him look bad. Mm-hmm. But when it came down to appointing a Supreme Court justice toward the last 6 months of his term, he backed away from the fight.
Because he didn't want that conflict around him.
No, he didn't want people to look badly upon him mm-hmm. for fighting for something. Mm-hmm. And he just assumed that Clinton would be president. He didn't have to worry about a disaster befalling the Supreme Court and then Roe versus Wade being turned over. It's his fault that that happened. Mm. And most people don't realize that it's on him that he backed away from the fight and then Trump appointed the justices he was able to. And now we're in a shitstorm having to do with abortion.
Yeah.
That's not on Trump. That's on him.
Wow, that's so interesting. I've never thought of that.
Well, and most people don't because he's so charming and everybody loves him so much.
Me.
Yeah. And you know, I thought he was a good president as far as they go. At least he didn't go out of his way to hurt people on purpose.
Yeah.
So the grandiose type is the most common that we recognize. The second part that most people don't know about is the person that identifies themselves as a victim. And you'd say, wait a minute, what does that have to do with narcissism, right?
Yeah, that makes no sense.
People that have the victim variety of a narcissistic personality disorder, you cannot hold them accountable for anything because of how hard life has been.
And that, you think that's a narcissistic personality disorder?
Yeah, think about the power of not ever being held accountable for anything. Mm-hmm. It's a free hall pass to do whatever you want and live however you want because the world has been, and I'm not saying that people don't get victimized, obviously, but there's a difference between dealing with victimization and seeing yourself as a victim. Mm-hmm. And the people that see themselves as a victim don't know that that's how they see themselves.
Yeah, which is quite the opposite of the grandiose type.
Right.
Yeah.
But just as powerful because nobody's allowed to hold you accountable for anything. Mm-hmm. And people just have to feel sorry for you and cater to you and do whatever you want because you've had such a hard life. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a man, it's a horrible story that I knew, who sexually brutalized his brother and sister in unspeakable ways when they were little kids. And his punishment when he got caught was to be sent to a really fancy private school because his family was super wealthy and they could get away with him not being prosecuted for raping and just destroying his siblings' lives.
Wow.
I met the man once and I asked him, why did you do this to your brother and sister? And he said, well, my dad had pornographic magazines, Playboy, Penthouse, in his office, and I saw the pictures. And that's the reason why I did what I did. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, that would make most men pedophiles because, you know, finding me a man in his teenage years that doesn't want to look at pictures of whoever they're interested in sexually, whether it's a man or a woman. Mm-hmm. And he was really angry with his father for not supporting him.
Wow.
And he was one of the most sadistic, awful predators I've ever encountered in my life. And he absolutely was unable to take any responsibility for it at all.
So did he go on to continue to get in more trouble?
Never got caught, but he had two daughters. And I would...
That's scary.
Bet my life that, you know, but again, the details don't matter. What matters is that people can come up with incredible excuses that they really, really believe.
Well, and then they don't change the behavior, right? Because they don't have to.
Well, they don't change the behavior not because they don't have to, but because they've not done anything wrong. This guy did not believe he did anything wrong by what he did to his sisters. It was somebody else's fault.
Wow. So if he was doing that to his daughters, he would say, it's because I saw my dad's Playboys when I was 9 years old or something.
And the fact that he raped his brother and sister when they were 2 and 4 years old, it was not his fault.
Wow. That's that really
it was
sad.
The family's fault or the magazine's fault or something.
Yeah.
And he wasn't lying. He really believed that that was the truth. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit of an unusual situation. But I will say that, you know, people with personality disorders, they don't have a conscience, and so they're capable of anything and everything.
Right.
Because if you don't get a conscience by the time you're 5 or 6 years old, we don't have the technology to instill one in a person.
Yeah.
So I will say to you that no one has ever come to see me that's had a personality disorder that said to me, I have a personality disorder, help me. That has never happened.
Wow.
In the hundreds and hundreds of people that I've seen. Now, other people have said to me, do you think I have one? Mm-hmm. But as soon as you ask that question, it means you don't.
Right, because you have a conscience.
Because you would never ask the question
if
you had one. It wouldn't even occur to you that you're responsible for anything that's a problem.
Yeah.
So the third and worst kind of narcissistic personality disorder is called the malignant narcissist.
Okay.
And we had a president recently that was a malignant narcissist. And he takes great pleasure in hurting people on purpose. And that's where he gets his power and his feelings of strength and admiration.
God, that sounds like the worst kind.
By far the most dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the guy that's invaded Ukraine.
Right.
He's killing people for fun.
Yeah.
It makes him feel powerful. And he's rationalized the whole thing that they deserved it and they asked for it and all of that stuff. And, you know, whether it's using women to exploit them or destroying anybody that disagrees with you, the malignant narcissist is really dangerous.
Wow.
Because the only thing that matters is getting revenge against somebody that's crossed you in some way.
Wow.
So, you know, most of the people in the Republican Party right now are terrified that they don't do anything to mess with this guy, even though he's been indicted and mm-hmm. how many felonies now? Mm-hmm. None of that matters. He just becomes more popular with each passing day because people look at him like he's a poor victim. People are picking mm-hmm. on him. They don't understand. He's trying to make America great again and, mm-hmm. you know, so on and so forth. And the man is not stupid, right? The reason he became the president is because the economy was in really terrible shape. And his opponent would go from town to town and say, hey, we got to work together to solve these problems,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense if you're like a
normal person. Yeah.
But if you don't live in somewhere like Santa Barbara or San Francisco or, you know, some wealthy place, mm-hmm. like in our town, the storefronts on our main street are closed, not because there's no economic base, but because most of the people that own those stores are so wealthy, they don't care if they're rented or not.
Right.
They just write off the emptiness as a tax deduction. But in almost every other part of the country, there's no economic base and storefronts and the main streets are all closed, not because people are wealthy and it doesn't matter, but because there's nobody that can be there that can afford anything.
Yeah.
So I come to you and I say, hey, we're going to work together. We're going to solve this problem. And you're going to look at me like, the fuck are you talking about? I've already tried everything. There's no hope.
Yeah.
Right. And so then Mr. Charming, I'm going to save the world, walks in and says, hey, sit back. I'm going to take care of it for you.
Right.
Right. You don't have to worry about it. I'm going to bring the steel industry back. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Who are you going to vote for? The person that's bringing magic to town?
Right.
Or the person that's telling you that we may have to work to solve our problems?
Right.
I'm going to vote for the magic guy.
Right.
Especially if I'm stupid.
Right. Well.
And easily fooled.
Yeah. Well, and that's the issue, right? Like, nothing has changed.
Uh-huh. And if I can have God on my side,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That even makes it better because how do you fight God's will?
Right.
So if you're an evangelical, it doesn't matter that I've raped and assaulted women and I have no moral character at all. As long as I support your agenda, which is no abortion and the other things that matter to you, you don't care what kind of person I am.
Yeah.
Because I'm pandering to you so that you can let me be powerful and take over the world.
Yeah.
So that's what makes the person so dangerous. I don't care about the politics.
Mm-hmm.
It's that if you're a malignant narcissist, you are an evil person by definition.
Wow.
Because you go out of your way to hurt people and destroy their lives on purpose just to make yourself feel better. And I'm sorry, but morally, that's just not okay.
Right.
But, you know, people rationalize that by saying, you know, he's our hero and everybody's, you know, being mean to him and they're, you know, they're making up stuff about him because we all want to believe that there's a magic solution to our problems because then we don't have to take responsibility to try to make America better by our efforts instead of somebody magic coming in and making it better for us.
So is there any hope?
I don't think there's hope for people that are so desperate and unintelligent. I know that's not a very nice thing to say, but if you're that desperate and you're that sort of dumb to fall for this, mm-hmm. that's how the fascists in the world take over. That's how come Hitler, you know, was able to take over Germany and how Franco did Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the guy from Italy. Who's the guy from Mussolini?
Yeah.
All these people, they're all, you know, they're all incredibly powerful,
right.
power-hungry people that are not stupid.
Yeah.
And they know how to manipulate, and they always find a scapegoat. That's why anti-Semitism is so rampant in the world now, because got to have a scapegoat.
Yeah, always.
And for some reason, us Jews are the scapegoat. I'm not sure why. We represent such a small portion of the population.
Yeah.
But, you know, apparently we own Hollywood.
Yeah.
I'm in charge of the Jew laser that Marjorie Taylor Greene believes is, you know, bombing all the forests and setting them on fire. I'm in charge of it, apparently.
So, well, is there also any hope if someone is a narcissist, if one of the three, can they get help? Can they get cured? Is there ever any hope? And is the malignant one is the most severe, it sounds like, but also what is, well, like, is there sort of a percentage?
Well, how do you help someone who can't take responsibility for themselves?
Well, therapy.
But what if the person doesn't believe that they're, I mean, look, there was a man last year that came here with his wife, sat down on the couch. His wife looked like a deer in the headlights even before he started talking. And he spent about 20 minutes telling me what a piece of crap his wife was in front of her, just telling me what a horrible, disgusting, awful, terrible wife that she was in every way that you can imagine. And she's just sat there staring at me like,
wow,
you know, like a deer in the headlights.
Right.
And he said to me, you know, you're my last hope because I've been to 5 other therapists before you, and all of them said the same thing to me. And I said, well, what'd they say to you? They said that I was part of the problem. And I said, well, I'm really sorry, but, you know, in order for me to work with couples, each person has to take responsibility for themselves. We're all experts at each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to tell, you know, for you to tell me what's wrong with your wife and what she needs to change in order for the marriage to get better.
Right.
But what about whatever it is you're doing or not doing that might be part of the problem?
Yeah.
He stood up. He said, fuck you. He started screaming at me. And he grabbed his wife and walked out the door.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, a sort of an extreme situation, but not really if you're him.
Yeah.
Because I was just another person that asked him to take responsibility for himself. So how do you help somebody like
that?
What
if there's like, I'm desperate here now. We've got to get these narcissists fixed. But what if there's, I don't know, you know, a court mandate or something where narcissists go to therapy, get the help because they have to. Like, is it something that can be solved or get better?
My feeling is that it is a completely hopeless progressive disease that often ends up in dementia.
Interesting. So you think as time goes on,
it gets worse.
Wow.
Because the less energy you have, which is all part of the aging process, the less energy you have to contain your craziness.
True, but you also don't care as much.
Oh, that's not true. It's maybe not true for you and I. I mean, you and I were joking earlier when I said I went to the dermatologist, and she said, I'm going to try to minimize the scar. And I said, have you seen my body?
Right?
It's like scar everywhere. I don't care. But if I was a narcissist, I would be really angry with her if she didn't do everything she could to not leave a scar, no matter what age I am. The hardest thing for a woman who has a narcissistic personality disorder is the aging process. Because a lot of times it's your beauty that carries you through the day.
Right.
And women have a harder time. I mean, you tell me, as with the aging process, don't women become more concerned about their looks as time goes by?
Not necessarily.
But only if they've gotten by their looks and believe that that is what they bring into the world.
They've gotten some help on it. I mean, I mean, I just listened to a podcast with Ally McGraw recently with Oprah. And I mean, Ally McGraw was one of the most beautiful women. And, you know, she went gray and doesn't do any surgeries and is just great about all of that.
Yeah. But have you looked at Cher recently?
She looks the same. She looks the same, you know?
Well, I don't know. Have you seen her smile? She can't.
Oh.
The muscles in her face are completely frozen from all the work that she's had. Yeah. She doesn't look like a real person.
No. But yeah, I think it depends on the person.
And look what happened to Michael Jackson. You know, eventually he had no nose left.
Right.
He had to wear a fake nose because he had so much plastic surgery that his nose tissues died. And I mean, again, I shouldn't laugh. It's not funny because he was a pedophile also. But yeah. It's just the way that it is.
Yeah.
And it's really very sad because I have never been able to help anybody that has a personality disorder. Now, occasionally I'll work with somebody for a brief period of time mm-hmm. in order to minimize the harm they're causing their children.
Okay.
Because on occasion a man has been, or a woman has come in, and I try to help them feel how superior they are as a parent by telling them that they shouldn't do the things that they're doing. And then what a great idea it was for them to stop doing those things, even though it wasn't their idea.
Reverse psychology.
It's all manipulation, which is a horrible thing to say. But it's the only thing that works.
And how quickly can you spot a narcissist?
Me personally?
Yeah.
20 seconds?
20 seconds.
Because if you have a narcissistic personality disorder or any personality disorder, you have a psychological odor about you that, to me, is incredibly offensive.
Interesting.
Now, obviously, it's not a smell. It's a right. It's an emotional
feel.
Smell.
Yeah.
But there is a hugely distinct difference between a person that has a sense of self and someone who doesn't.
Right.
And you can feel it right away because the degree of internal tension that the person doesn't know they have mm-hmm. is so evident mm-hmm. to me. And the level of desperation that the person goes through life with is so palatable from my perspective.
Yeah.
But most people don't notice it at all.
But I feel like people that are in relationships or friendships with someone who's a narcissist, they figure it out.
And, eventually.
And yeah. they pull away. And then that person's, I guess, rage or energy towards...
Well, feels betrayed.
Right. Uh-huh. And so they just, move on and find someone else who's going to believe their...
There is no shortage of people who have been victimized into a place where they believe that they are an object to be used by another person.
Right.
Because if you have a personality disorder, there's no such thing as a person in the world.
Yeah.
Everyone's an object. Mm-hmm. And again, you don't know that that's how you're relating to other people as objects.
Right, right.
But... You have no idea what love feels like because for me to love you, I have to have a me to love you. Mm-hmm. And if you have a personality disorder, there is no you.
Right.
It's like the difference between having a bowl that carries Justine or having a colander that no matter how much you put in it, it falls out the bottom mm-hmm. as quickly as it comes in. And that's why the desperate need for power and admiration is just ongoing all the time.
Wow. Sounds exhausting.
Yeah, because no matter how much you get in, it's falling out the same time it's coming in.
And so are people born narcissists? Like, how does this happen?
I think that it's genetic, but I think it's also influenced by the degree of trauma that you suffer in the course of your development.
Okay.
Because if you read about and know people that come from those kinds of backgrounds, there's usually other people in their ancestry that are cut from the same cloth. Mm-hmm. But it can be made much worse by the amount of trauma that you suffer in the course of growing up. Usually that trauma is in the form of neglect.
Okay.
Sometimes worse than that, but a lot of times it's neglect. Mm-hmm. If you think about really powerful people having children, I'm not going to say all of them don't raise their own kids, but I mean, how many people that do you know that have a nanny for each one of their kids and a cook and a driver and a this and or that, and they spend 10 minutes a week with their kids.
Right.
Because their kids are being brought up by all their slaves. Mm-hmm. And they think it's fine because their kids are getting a good education and somebody's paying attention to them.
Right.
And, you know, all of this crap never ends. I mean, I hear stories all the time about, you know, in elementary school, the parent that's got the plane is the most popular one.
Yeah.
Right. And everybody's vying for that person's attention so they can go on the private plane wherever they're going to go. And it's like junior high all over again.
Yeah.
It's really ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it is what it is because the wealthier the community, the more people with personality disorders that live in that community.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because that's what it takes to get there.
Yeah.
You can become wealthy, certainly, and really successful without having a personality disorder. But to rise to the very, very top, mm-hmm. it's impossible to do if you have a conscience. Mm-hmm. Because your conscience will limit the way you live in the world. And if you don't have any moral fiber, what's to stop you from running the world or as a professional athlete from, you know, there's a football player who takes so much pride when he gets an opportunity to step on other players' heads when they're getting out of a huddle.
Oh.
And they show pictures of this guy stomping on people's heads.
God.
He doesn't get caught that often. But think about what kind of person, you know, okay, so you want to win. Do you really have to stomp on somebody's head to win?
Right.
But yeah, you do. And that's the way you look at it.
When do traits start appearing if you're a narcissist?
Well, I have a client whose son, sadly, from his original wife, who was an incredibly narcissistic person, started showing symptoms in elementary school.
Wow.
A lack of conscience, having a conduct disorder where you have nothing to stop you from doing whatever you feel like you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
This kid has absolutely nothing that stops him from doing whatever he wants, other than the way that it looks.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way things look is important.
Right.
It's not because he cares about whether he's a good person or not.
The reflection.
He just sometimes doesn't want to look bad.
Right.
But he lies and he cheats and he steals and he does everything that a person without a conscience would do. And now he's 15 or 16 and he's incorrigible.
Wow.
It's really sad.
Yeah. And there's nothing that could have happened when he was 7 or 8.
Well, except that his mom completely indulged him in every way possible because he's a mini-me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because if you're a parent and you have a personality disorder and you have more than one child, often one child is a golden child.
Right.
And another child is your garbage can.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with a family that I met, the two sons in high school. The first son that I met was about 6'5", probably one of the most handsome people I've ever seen in my life. This was a true golden child,
mm-hmm.
right? I've never seen anybody. It's like, whoa. Mm-hmm. And his father, incredibly self-involved, narcissistic person, fasted for a month before he decided to conceive with his wife so that he could design the pure child.
Oh, my gosh.
The sad part was he got what he wished for.
Yeah.
Because this kid was so handsome and so smart and charming and beautiful. But the father absolutely hijacked him in every way possible mm-hmm. and never let him develop his own identity.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time he was in junior high, he was fighting all the time and using drugs and having a terrible time because he felt so insecure about himself.
Right.
Second child comes along, spitting image of the father, by the way. The first child doesn't look like the dad at all.
Mm-hmm.
Second child looks like a clone of the father.
Mm-hmm.
He tells his second kid, you're not my kid. Your mom had an affair.
What?
So you're not my child. But I'll raise you like you are my child, only because I feel sorry for you. I swear to God, it's true. So he told his son that he wasn't his biological son because he absolutely, in his own grandiose, weird way, thought his wife was having an affair with somebody else, which he wasn't because I know her.
Gosh.
Really lovely person. But this guy was so batshit crazy.
Yeah.
But he was also the chief of the fire department in mm-hmm. part of our community. Mm-hmm. So not a stupid person.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew he was nuts, but he was a really capable person.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he rose to the top. Which people like that often do because they rise to the top on other people's backs in that way. So, I mean, I just see one horrible situation after another. I mean, I worked with a family once where the daughter had two brothers, an older sister, and both parents all had personality disorders, except for her.
I mean,
When she became a teenager, her brothers decided that it was their job to teach her how to be a sexual person.
Oh, my gosh.
And they really believed that it was their job to do that.
Wow.
That's how grandiose and weird people can be sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a huge concern, and I don't think that most people believe that it's real.
Yeah.
Because how do you believe that somebody could not know what's wrong with them?
Right.
Because most of us believe that everything is wrong with us, right?
Yeah, except for, like you said, if you know one... You know they're a narcissist because they really don't think there's anything wrong with them.
Yeah. Well, I knew a mom once who, 18-month-old children in the backseat of the van, decided to go to the grocery store and forgot that they were there. The fire department comes and breaks the windows of the van to save these little boys' lives because they were roasting in the car.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't get in trouble because she was wealthy enough to get away with the crime.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't believe she did anything wrong. I just forgot. Why are people so mad at me? I forgot.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really sad. No, it's, situations like that.
So what does someone do if they realize down the road that they're in a relationship with a narcissist or they were raised by one? How do they get out?
Well, it's easier to recover from being raised by one than it is being married to one. If you have kids, because you're kind of stuck for the rest of your life. If you're married to one, even if you get a divorce.
Right.
I mean, there was a family I worked with once with two girls, and the relationship started out in the first week, the man beat the woman so badly that she couldn't go out of the house for a week. Super, super wealthy people, extremely attractive, wealthy people, but he beat her so badly. But she came from a father who just used to beat the crap out of her every day when she was a little kid. So she just believed that that's love. That was it. And she blamed herself. I must have done something to cause it. Now, the cool thing was eventually she got strong enough and healed enough of her trauma to leave the guy. But he spent $500,000 torturing her for a year before he gave her the settlement that she was due.
Yeah.
He broke into her house. He hired private. I mean, he just tortured this woman.
Wow.
Because she left him, even though he had a girlfriend within 2 or 3 days after she left. To abandon somebody in that way, you deserve to be punished beyond anything you can imagine.
Yeah.
So that's the sad part, is that when you have a mate that comes from that malady, you can expect that your life is going to be hell for the foreseeable future if you leave that person. Because the person will use all the resources to torture you.
Yeah.
And hate you forever because you've betrayed them by leaving them.
Yep.
So it's a really sad situation.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad was very narcissistic. He was unfaithful to my mom from the beginning of their marriage until they finally got divorced.
Right.
My mom was the victim variety of being a narcissist.
Wow, you had two, huh?
Yeah, she was the most capable victim I have ever met in my entire life.
That's a funny word.
She was really smart and acted like an idiot. And every situation she ever got involved in, somebody took advantage of her. And she set it up that way. And she would complain endlessly to me about being victimized. And before I was smart enough to figure out what was going on, I would try to help her, Mr. Smarty Pants here, you know?
Right.
And I would give her all kinds of advice about how to solve the problem.
Right.
And I was brilliant. I guess how many times she took my advice?
I can guess zero.
That's right. Because what she did was solicit my advice so that she could deliberately not take it, so that she could end up feeling in control of her own destiny.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she would seduce me into trying to rescue her and then deliberately do the worst thing she could do to show me that I was not the boss of her, because she wanted me to be everything that she never got in terms of a father and a husband and a, you know, a son and everybody else. And I was an idiot for a long time. I fell for it till I woke up in my 30s and realized, what the fuck am I doing? This is so ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I put a stop to it, but she never understood. She felt completely betrayed that I wouldn't try to save her.
And how did you do that? Were you just like, no more of this?
I just stopped doing it. I only was willing to talk to her about the Dodgers and the Lakers.
Oh, interesting.
Because she loved the Dodgers and the Lakers. So anytime I knew we were going to be together, I would read up on whatever. I don't give a shit about the Dodgers or Lakers, but I would read up about people on the team and how they were doing so that we would have something to talk about.
And that's it.
And anytime she tried to change the subject to something she needed, in quotes, help with or whatever, I would just pretend like I didn't hear it and change it. She thought I was nuts.
Yeah.
She would look at me like, I didn't ask you how that guy was doing. I have a problem here.
Yeah.
But I would just pretend like I didn't hear the problem and just go right straight back to talking about something neutral, because I was refused to let myself be seduced into her, the game that she wanted to play.
Yeah.
And the sad thing about my dad is that in some ways he was a really lovely person. But as a kid, he got molested by his mom, and it was just a shitstorm in his life.
Right.
He had to leave school at 14 to support his family. He never stood a chance.
Right.
So
right.
He became a criminal, and he spent his life as a white-collar criminal and made a fortune once he and my mom got divorced, because he found a woman that was happy to join in his criminal enterprise. And they did really well. But he died a really lonely, sad person, because he never made a friend, and all he cared about was money and being powerful and rich.
Right. But you guys came back together.
What's that?
You guys came back together before he passed away.
In a certain way, but actually after he died, it was more of a repair than when he was alive.
Got it.
But he was a really lovely guy in certain ways. He tried really hard to be apologetic for his lack of...
That's not a narcissistic behavior. That's...
No, I mean, but I'm not sure if he did it because he felt bad or he did it because it made him look really bad to not be a good father. Mm-hmm. But I still miss him and I wish he was around, even though my daughter was terrified of him and wanted nothing to do with him from the time she was a little kid because she knew as a woman he was a perv. Mm-hmm. And he was a perv. Mm-hmm. But he didn't, that didn't affect me really directly.
Right.
Because he was heterosexual. And so, you know.
Right.
But he was nuts. Yeah. And everybody knows he was nuts. Yeah. and so was my mom in her own way.
Yeah.
But I got quite the education being brought up by these two people in this way.
This is why you're a therapist, I would guess.
Probably, yeah. Because I tried my best to save both of them and failed miserably.
Yeah.
But at least now the people that come to see me actually want help.
Right, right.
And so I can occasionally be effective.
Yeah.
But it's sad. I was so lonely growing up and felt so bad about myself all the time because they were completely absent.
Just paying attention to themselves.
Well, my mom was a victim and everything was anxiety and panic. And my dad was off doing his thing. Mm-hmm. He was just busy all the time. Mm-hmm. So I know this not just professionally, but I know it personally.
Yeah.
And it makes sense to me because I understand why people become this way. And it just makes sense to me why they live the way they do.
And what does it look like? I mean, I know why it's sort of in wealthier communities because of, you know, the narcissistic trait to like want to do the best and make the most money and do all this. But what does narcissism look like in not a wealthy community?
Well, if you go to jail, as an example, mm-hmm. what you find mostly in jail are sociopathic people.
Right.
People without a conscience. But they're not the very smart ones because the smart ones don't get put in jail, generally speaking. They get away with their crimes because they're smart enough not to get caught. Mm-hmm. The population, generally speaking, in prison is about 70% fetal alcohol syndrome.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the reason that happens is because if you're born with fetal alcohol syndrome, you cannot read social cues as a child. Mm. And so you're never taught how to be responsible for your behavior. Mm-hmm. So you don't develop a conscience.
Yeah.
And if you don't get one by the time you're 5 or 6, we do not have the technology to instill one in a person.
That's so
after a certain point. So all these people grow up with no conscience. That's why in the community of people that work with fetal alcohol syndrome kids, early intervention is absolutely necessary. Otherwise, it becomes hopeless.
Yeah, forever.
Because if you see what happens with kids in places or orphans in places like Brazil, and there's nobody to take care of them, they roam the street in packs.
Yeah.
Because we are prey animals, even though we're plenty capable of being perpetrators. Mm-hmm. But prey animals hang out in packs to be safe. Mm-hmm. But those kids have no conscience. They spend all day long, you know, sniffing solvents and stealing and doing everything.
Yeah.
Because they never develop into fully formed human beings because they don't get a conscience. And that's why a lot of times the police just kill them because there's no way to rehabilitate them.
Yeah. It's
sad. It's really very sad.
Yeah.
But that's those are different situations than being born with a personality disorder.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I think it's about 20% of the population, generally speaking.
Oh, yeah?
And in wealthy communities, upwards to 50 or 60%.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all you got to do is go by a private school in a wealthy community and you'll see a parade of people that look exactly alike.
Yeah.
All wearing the same clothes, all wearing the same, driving the same car, all trying to compete with each other who's got the more fancy version of that car. Mm-hmm. It's all just a parade of super wealthy people that don't believe that they're subject to the rules and regulations for the rest of us.
I wouldn't say like...
It's not everyone.
Right. There's like a lot of ego involved too. Uh-huh. Just like, And they think that car is going to make them happy or whatever.
I don't think it's a thought. I think that they actually feel like that's the solution because if you have a personality disorder, there's no internal you. Everything is external.
Yeah. But I'm just saying the people, like, not that those 15 fancy cars lined up, every single one of them has a narcissistic driver.
But it's hard not to be seduced by peer pressure. that doesn't end just because we become adults.
Yeah.
For people that live in that world.
Yeah.
And believe that their value is determined by how they show off in the
exactly.
world.
Exactly. Yeah.
So there is a big question that people ask me all the time that I think we should talk about before we finish, which is, what am I supposed to do? How do I relate to somebody that I'm stuck with?
Mm-hmm. Run.
Yes, but sometimes you can't, especially if you have kids.
Yeah.
I am met with pretty much zero acceptance of this idea because it's so abhorrent. Mm-hmm. If you want to manage a narcissist, then you have to feed them narcissist food, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got a dog, right? Don't you feed your dog food?
Mm-hmm.
If you had a bird, you wouldn't feed your bird cat food, would
right.
you? That'd be stupid.
Right.
So if you have a narcissist and you understand that their diet only consists of a need for power
mm-hmm.
and admiration,
right,
then you're the one that controls the food.
Yeah.
Because they're desperately hungry. And think about what it feels like when you're the hungriest you've ever been. Right? Think about what that's like. It's not a good feeling to be starving, right?
Right.
You get agitated. It's not a happy feeling at all. And imagine that that's how you go through life. With that kind of emotional emptiness.
That's
so you're constantly seeking out admiration and a feeling of power.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to control somebody like that, then you have to be willing to manipulate them by appearing to admire them and think they're the greatest thing that ever lived.
That is so exhausting.
I know. Well, that's why I don't get much cooperation because
no,
I'm not going to do that.
You.
I hate that person. That fucking, you know, I'm not doing that.
No
so
way.
I rarely get cooperation.
Yeah, I think that goes against every grain in most people's body.
It does. But the people that actually try it are enormously successful.
Well, good for them. Let's get one of them on the podcast.
Well, but if that's what you need to do to get what you want, and you realize that, because most people think that if you just come up with the right recipe, you're going to get the person to be reasonable.
Yeah, and that's not the case.
As far as I know, that has never happened.
Yeah. But God, think about how crappy you're going to feel about yourself. Yes, you have the upper hand.
Not
you're
really.
Feeding them the right food. But like, you know, you are dealing with a person with a disorder over there. And that is not a real relationship.
Yes, but it's no different than feeding your dog. You're not mad at yourself because you feed your dog.
My dog needs food, and I'm in charge of the food, and I'm the dog's owner, so yes.
I know, but Justine, if you and your dog were in your house, and you died, and there was nobody else around, guess what your lovely dog would do?
Well, that's okay. I'm dead.
No, it's not. Your dog would eat you.
I understand.
It would revert to its instincts.
That's okay. That's okay, but...
But you wouldn't be able to eat your dog. There's no way you could do that because your conscience would stop you.
Oh, if I was like the last person on earth and I only had me and the dog or I was going to die, I might eat the dog.
You might, but you wouldn't be able to do it easily. Your dog would do it with a smile on his face.
That's true.
And that's because your dog doesn't have a conscience.
That's true.
And that's really what we're dealing with here is a subhuman. I'm really sorry. So yeah, it gets you all choked up to think about this. The idea that you would have to resort to manipulation in order to get what you want.
My poor dog. I'm so sorry, Moon.
But that's really what it comes down to, is that if you're broken in this way, you really are subhuman in your development.
Yeah.
Because you're fixed at around 18 months to 3 years of age in your emotional development.
Yeah.
That's total impulse.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And we sort of accept it in three-year-olds.
Well, they're so cute, but a six-year-old president nomination is not so cute.
It's not cute when you're a disgusting, old, fat, awful, mean,
annoying
person that really enjoys hurting people on purpose.
Right.
But you are also someone that can fool people really easily who are desperate.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of desperate people that live in our world.
I think that that's key.
And it's very, really, very, very sad.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about this again, Justine, because it's so prevalent, way more than people realize. And I just can't tell you how hard a time people have accepting that there's no hope. Because theoretically, as a psychologist, I'm supposed to provide hope.
Yeah.
Right? And there's got to be a solution for every problem.
Right.
I'm really sorry, but from my experience, there is no solution to this problem other than doing the best you can, and learning how to be comfortable manipulating to get what you want.
It's crazy.
And I do not advocate that in any other relationship, but I want to make that really clear. I am not an advocate of manipulation in a healthy relationship because, you know, it's only for desperate circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you find that you've married somebody like that and you didn't realize it till it's too late, and then you have kids with that person and they start torturing you, you got to figure out some way to survive.
Yeah.
So the people I know that have been able to figure out a way to manipulate their narcissistic partners into believing that they are the superior being in the universe, it goes a lot better than if you challenge that person. Mm-hmm.
God, I would hope they never found my journals. Whatever I needed to do to get through the day.
Well, I mean, I had an experience once, and I'll make this quickly. Super famous man and his really lovely wife came from a really powerful family, and the man was a despicable human being. He would get so angry and violent when he was under the influence that he would come after his wife and their four kids in their closet, which was bigger than my house, trying to bang the door down and kill them.
Wow.
And that the staff would just stand there frozen because they were terrified about what was going to happen. I don't know why they never called the police. But finally, I said to this woman, you know, I just want to give you the name of a couple of attorneys, just in case you ever decide that you've had enough. I stupidly put it on a business card, and she tucked it in her purse. And about 6 months later, her husband found it, and he sent me the scariest letter I have ever received in my entire life.
Wow.
He threatened me to a place where I was terrified of what he was going to do to me. And he had the means to do it. You know, this person had more money than God. So I said to his wife at the time, I can't see you anymore.
Yeah.
And she said, why? I said, well, I showed her the letter. And she said, oh, I'll stop him from doing what he's threatening to do. And I said, I'm really sorry. I just cannot work with you under these circumstances. Yeah. Well, what if I sneak and he doesn't know?
Oh, God. Good, Dana.
And I said, sorry. If he found out, this would encourage him to write me even a worse letter than the first one.
Or come over and go to your closet.
Or do something. Yeah. Right. So sadly, I had to, you know, excuse myself from working with her. I felt really bad about it. I did hear through the grapevine about 5 years later, she finally got the courage to leave him.
Good.
But, you know, super sad situation. Yeah, it's really crazy. Awful.
No.
And, you know, money protects people from all kinds of problems.
It sure does.
So.
It sure does.
You have any other quick questions before we finish for today?
No, I'm thoroughly depressed now, but other than that.
You know, it's not a pleasant topic, obviously. No. But I just
That there's no hope.
Well, but the hope is being aware, understanding what you're dealing with, and not having the fantasy that, number one, it's your fault that the other person's so angry and hateful toward you.
That's and big.
And that the only solution is to try to feed the tiger.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't come after you to bite you.
Yeah.
And if you think about it from that perspective, it's a lot easier than if you see the person as a human being and you're thinking you're manipulating them.
Yeah.
You're just feeding them. It's really that simple. And I know it sounds heartless, but not really. Imagine what it's like to be insatiable in your need for people to think you're the best thing that ever lived and the most powerful person that ever walked the face of the earth.
Yeah.
It's just so horrible.
It is. I think it would be so hard for the common person to feed it. You know, it's just like, it would just make you feel like everything you're doing in your own body is wrong.
Well, and the incidence of substance abuse is 80%.
Yeah.
That means that like almost everybody that has a personality disorder has trouble with something.
Yeah.
Whether it's food or alcohol or drugs or something excessive, gambling, who knows what, because you always have to be doing something to not feel anything.
Yeah.
So it's awful, but it's epidemic, and it's really important right now because I've tried to talk to people who really support, you know.
Say the word.
Well, they support Trump, and they don't understand that it's not the politics that I object to. It's the danger of a malignant narcissist that is really, truly something we should all be afraid of. Because that person has no conscience and will do anything, including bribing and doing whatever he can to overthrow the election, inciting an insurrection at the White House, and then walk away saying, I didn't do anything. It wasn't me. It was all these other people that did it. I didn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just no conscience and no taking responsibility for anything.
We've seen it over and over and over.
Yeah. And convincing people that you're a victim so that people should feel sorry for you, that you're being badly treated by the world, by the Democrats or whatever.
Part of the world.
And it's not like the, you know, Democrats are any better in terms of narcissism, but right now there's not a lot of malignant people that are running for president.
Leaders,
There's a lot of narcissists, but not a lot of malignant people.
It's true.
Anyway, I hope that you guys all can tolerate this episode. I'm not sure if you'll enjoy it.
I mean, go get some ice cream or something after this.
Go get some narcissist food and sprinkle it.
Yeah, see a puppy, like whatever you need.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dana.
We appreciate our listeners and are interested in your comments and suggestions. Feel free to email us at fearmeoutpodcast@gmail.com. If you are interested in becoming a sponsor for this podcast, please email us at fearmeoutpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. See you next time.